to India and Ireland, round Africa and back again. We don't really need to know just where we'll go. Maybe Canada, then to Brazil, then through the Alpine foothills. All I really want to know is can we go? Oh baby, can we go? Round and around the globe.
Welcome to Take Me With You, episode 158. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Cheryl. We are two well-traveled people who want to go everywhere.
But that's not going to happen. Instead, for the last couple of years, we've been traveling vicariously by inviting guests to share their unique travel stories with us.
It's been awesome, and our podcast has been all over the globe.
Now we're taking some time to revisit the Wish You Were Here segment of our show, where we each share travel attractions that we recommend.
This week's Wish You Were Heres are from the Cascade Mountains of Washington State.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about Washington is we've got this huge mountain range that runs, it's not down the middle of the state, but it's the middle-ish of the state. And There's tons of stuff to do there, tons of stuff. And kind of like we talked about with Eastern Washington last week, a lot of these things could be day trips or weekend trips from the Seattle area if you are in town.
Absolutely. And so much gorgeous nature hikes you can take. And I was trying to figure out, because geographically, I was like, I wonder if you could go to all these places in one day.
I don't think easily.
Not easily. Also, a lot of these things could like take a day, You know? And so, this feels different to me than like some of the other ones where we're like, oh, you could just do a trip with this. I mean, you could do a trip with this, but like, I would say like pick your favorite and take a day and go enjoy it. Cause there's a lot of fun things here.
Yeah. And you lived in the Cascade Mountains for a while. So Some of these are from that time while you were living in the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a beautiful area. Highly recommend.
All right, Lisa.
All right. So mine is something in Washington State. I went on the rail to trail, the Iron Horse State Park Trail. And it's a walking and biking trail that goes through the old train tunnel at the Snoqualmie Pass.
Interesting.
So there's different ways you can experience it. You can drive to the Hayek Trailhead, which is on the other side of the pass from the east side of the pass.
I think I've seen that on an exit sign.
Right, And that's it's a nice place with fully functioning restrooms, picnic benches. Yep. And then I think you can just go like a third of a mile there to the one end of the rail was the Chicago Milwaukee St. Paul Pacific Railroad. And then the tunnel is like 2.3 miles and it's completely dark. So you're going to want like a flashlight, good shoes,
a light for your bike, maybe, or a headlight.
Yeah. If you're riding your bike through it, you're going to need a light for your bike. And it's really fun to ride through. And then there's just a trail on the other side. You can keep going if you want. Cool. The way we did it was you can go to the outside of North Bend. What is the...
I don't remember.
Trailhead. I think I marked this on my map. What's that really popular hike near North Bend, Cheryl?
Rattlesnake Lake.
Yeah, so you drive towards Rattlesnake Lake.
Okay.
And instead of parking in the main parking lot, so there's another parking lot that is like the Palouse Falls parking lot, and you need the Discover Pass to park there, but it doesn't get nearly as crowded as the main Rattlesnake Ridge parking lot. Yeah. So I think we parked there at like 10:30 on a Saturday, and there was spots.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
And we unloaded our bikes, and then it's like a 17-mile ride to the tunnel through there. And it's gorgeous. You're going over trestles. It's just like in the forest. It is an incline up, but because it's an old railroad, it's not much of an incline.
It's a slow incline.
In incline the entire way up.
Yes. And then on the way back down, you're just going down. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty nice. Jeff had a steel, like, department store old bike. And I think he made it halfway.
It was so heavy and I couldn't keep going.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So it was
everyone
pretty,
else had, like, it was pretty really rough light for bikes.
You. Yeah, well, mine's just a typical aluminum bike, like a $300 bike, but it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you like biking, that's a gorgeous ride, and then you can say you rode over the Snoqualmie Pass afterwards.
Interesting. That's cool.
It's a fun day trip. So nice. Yeah, that's different ways cool. to experience it.
Fun!
Yeah.
All right, Cheryl, how about your wish you were here?
I'm going to stay very local and very small. I went to a good burger place recently, and I just got to share about it because I've traveled over I-90 in Washington State quite a number of times now because I lived in Eastern Washington for a while, and my husband's family still lives out there. So, I mean, just like I'm pretty familiar with driving on I-90 in Washington. There's a really good burger place that kind of in Easton, in the middle of nowhere, and just when you're like, there isn't food around here, even if I was hungry, or, you know, I'll just wait till I get to Ellensburg for something. But it's called Mountain High Burgers, and their burgers and shakes are amazing, and they're so affordable. And I will probably never not go there now. Like, I got the root beer shake and it was so good. And so, yeah, Mountain High Burgers in Easton off of I-90. Check it out next time you're driving over that pass. Yeah.
And we actually got to wish we were there together.
That makes so much sense grammatically.
So much sense.
Yeah.
So you called me up and was like, hey, you want to go hiking?
And you were like, maybe?
Yep. I was not super confident of it. Do you want to explain a little bit about where we went?
Yeah. So the reason I thought of suggesting this hike to you was after we recorded our first episode. And you talked about your trip to Switzerland, and you talked about a hike that involved a gondola or a train?
Both, actually.
Okay, a gondola and a train.
Yep.
And so it involved like some transportation and some hiking and beautiful mountains.
Yes.
And you're not much of a hiker, but I was like, there's this hike that is very cool. And I was like, I think you would enjoy it. And so I suggested it. And your stipulations were if it wasn't too hot that day, because it was definitely August when we did this. And I'm trying to think of your other stipulation. Well, one of mine was I was like, you and I both had flexible enough schedules that I was like, we shouldn't do a weekend because of crowds.
Yep.
Which was a good call. Yeah, I've done a lot of Seattle area hiking to learn, like, I like hiking when you don't feel like you're in a line of people, when you actually, like, kind of be alone out. Mm-hmm. And so, and part of this hike includes a restaurant. And so I was like, well, that's going to matter because of that as well.
Yep.
So we hiked up Crystal Mountain, which is in central Washington, kind of near Mount Rainier, 12 miles from Mount Rainier, as we learned.
Is it 12 or 14?
One of the two.
Yep, somewhere in there. Less than 15 miles.
And so there's a gondola that goes to the top of the mountain that you can go up or down or both.
Yep.
And the website is very confusing because it says that download only tickets are $10 or whatever it says, which makes it sound like you can only download the tickets from their website.
Uh-huh.
It's very strange.
But download actually means
going down the gondola and not up.
Yeah. So not a round trip ticket.
Yes. So only down.
Yep. So we ended up.
I guess I'm supposed to upload only tickets.
Yeah. So we ended up hiking up, and it was, what did it say it was? Like 4.8 miles or something, but we think it might be longer than that.
Yeah.
And it took us about 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And we hiked all the way up. The beginning of the hike was awful because it was super steep, like right away.
And I was feeling really guilty because I was like, I hope it's not still like this because I suggested this to a non-hiker.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And then the end of the hike was kind of brutal also because
We got to see Mount Rainier during the end of the hike.
Yes, we did.
You know.
So that definitely helped. And then we knew we were hiking to a restaurant and we got to eat food.
Yes.
And the
but
view,
it was hot. That was the hottest point in the day.
And we were high enough that there weren't trees around us anymore. So like all of those things. And we were like higher in elevation. So the air was thinner.
And ready for lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of the things kind of all came together. But the view was spectacular. And that restaurant is, I mean, it's, it, you sit there and you can stare at Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
And
it's so
it's
cool.
just like
it's just
right there.
Right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's kind of comically large where it is, I would say. You're like, that's very big.
We may have stopped at one point and discussed whether or not we'd be dead if it erupted. That may have been a conversation we had.
Which was funny because I think you were like a little hesitant. You were like, I hope this doesn't freak you out. But I knew that you would think something like that as a science person.
Yep.
And then those thoughts don't scare me. So for me, it was just like an interesting conversation. And I was like, oh, yeah, some people would be like freaked out if you're like, would we die if it erupted right now? And then hearing some dude next to us being like, it hasn't erupted for this many years. And be like, oh, so it is due.
So anyway, it was great. And then we took the gondola down, which was great because I was done hiking at that point.
Then you're just done, though. Yeah. All the work is at the start, and then you eat, and then you just sit in a gondola.
Yeah.
And it's and then you just drive home. So, and then here's a little insider scoop hack that we learned was there is a gift shop on the top of the mountain, and that's where you buy your download-only ticket, which they really need to change that term. And there was a little sign on the front of it that said they were closed for 30 minutes. And you pointed out, when did those 30 minutes start?
It wasn't one of the ones that has a clock that's like, we'll be back in. It just said, sorry, we'll be back in 30 minutes. I was like, well, did you just put that up like 2 minutes ago? Or has it been up for like 25 minutes?
Yeah.
Because telling me that you're gone for 30 minutes doesn't help me.
Yeah. I think those are only helpful if it's under 5 minutes, because then you're like, I'm fine waiting for 5 or less minutes.
Yeah.
But so we were kind of like, oh, my gosh, do we have to wait around for 30 minutes to buy this ticket to get on the gondola with like a pretty short line? What's the deal? So we went up. There was some guy too who was like, just go on, and trying to be all like, get us to be
he was like, they won't check your ticket, you can just go on. And I was like, well, that may be true, but
we'll
feel like that's dishonest.
So we asked, and they were like, oh, just, you're good, don't worry about it, just go on the gondola. So we got a free gondola ride. So here's the trick, is you tell them
wait a minute, you're telling them to lie?
No. It was just funny, though, because there was like a bit of an honor system involved and just being like, hey, they have a sign that says they were closed. And he was just like, that's cool. So that was very nice of him to not make us wait on top of there for the store to open. Or it was like, can we just give him money? But we don't have cash. And so, it probably wouldn't work that way.
probably not.
And great gondola ride. Also, the whole thing is dog friendly. So that's why I discovered it last year and went on it in the first place, was because it was like, I mean, most hikes are dog friendly unless you're a national park. But this was like the restaurant, the patio area is dog friendly, and the gondola is dog friendly. So like the whole experience is, which is great.
And they have multiple trails. It's not just like one hike. So like, because you, the one that we did is different than the one that you did the last time you went.
Yeah.
Right. And so they have multiple different things, that, ways that you can hike
all
and
these
get
different
to the top
paths.
And things like that.
And then we ran into people who took the gondola up and then hiked back down. And that would also be an option. Or people that just took the gondola up and down and ate at the restaurant and hung out. And that's cool too. I also thought, I had read that they were only open in the summer, but apparently they're open year round. So that would be. Other than the drive in the snow, which would not be my favorite, that'd be a fun place to visit in the winter, to get to like go to the top of a mountain when it does not involve skiing.
That's our recommendation. It was a lot of fun. Whether you like hiking or not, you still have access to the restaurant. The restaurant wasn't cheap, but it wasn't like outlandishly expensive.
And
the food was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good food.
And they have an outdoor patio area. So since we had nice weather, really we nice. Sat outside, yeah. got mm-hmm. to see the
with
mountain.
The mountain just right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wish you were here wish at you were Crystal here. Mountain.
So Cheryl, what is your wish you were here for this week?
My wish you were here this week is from our state, Washington State.
Go Washington.
It is from a little town called Leavenworth, which we have very briefly talked about on this podcast, but people got to know about Leavenworth. It's a Bavarian-style town. It feels like you're at Disneyland, essentially, because they just go hard with the theme to the point that Starbucks and McDonald's got on board, and their font and their style even matches that Bavarian style, which is very fun. And it's in the mountains of Washington, which is just gorgeous as well. But the specific thing I want to share about for my wish you were here is going there for Christmas time. I'm a big Christmas fan. And they do Christmas, and they do it right. And so they even have a Christmas shop that's open year-round, which is really fun. But at Christmas time, on the weekends leading up to it, and I think even maybe they sneak a little bit in the new year. I'm not quite sure. They do this big tree lighting party type of thing, like a tree lighting ceremony where they have carolers and music, and then they light up all the lights on the buildings and the trees and everything around you at once, and they really go all out with the lights as well. And it's very magical, and it feels very Disneyland in that way. However, you get real snow there, not bubbles. And so it's super fun because it tends to get pretty snowy there that time of year. So I've gone twice. I went once with my family and we rented a big Airbnb house just across the river and stayed for the whole weekend. But then this last year, I just went with my fiance and we just drove there for the day. And it was snowing all day. And then when we did the tree lighting and it's just magical. Prepare for crowds because that's like, you know, the high season there and everything. Yeah. But it's so good. I love it. Do it.
Have you been up there for the tree lighting, Tommy?
I have. My brother lives in Kashmir, which is about 20 minutes out of Leavenworth.
Very cool.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. I love it.
So good. Yeah.
Dad, die. Are you guys going to do a joint wish you were here, or would you like to do individual wish you were here's?
I can hardly wait to find out myself.
Go ahead. Wait, you can do joint.
What were you thinking? No, you go. You had something in mind to sound like.
No, not really. I mean, I got a lot of different highlights, but go ahead.
Well, just something, I guess, for me, quick, that we love. And again, this comes from our motorcycle time is... From here, it's just a quick trip. We love to go to Leavenworth for lunch. It's close. There are all sorts of restaurants. I don't think we've had a bad meal there. And, you know, if you go up, even if you just go up and back in a day, it is not too much. It's a great way to go. If you don't have a motorcycle and you can find somebody with a convertible, you know, particularly in the summertime, take the convertible because the views are so amazing when you get outside of the car. You know, if you have the top down and it just changes that whole experience. And for me, that's just it's quick, it's easy, and it's just a great way to spend a day.
I love that. Leavenworth is wonderful.
Cheryl, what would you like to do for your wish you were here?
I want to talk about a store that is in Leavenworth. Now, Marissa, you're from Seattle, yes? Okay, have you been to Leavenworth?
Yes, I have.
Okay, have you been to the Christmas store?
I have.
All right, well, I want to talk about the Christmas store. Ryan, you've been there, yes?
Probably.
You don't remember?
So I've only been to Leavenworth a handful of times, and the only store, there are two places that I remember that are indoors in Leavenworth. One is a restaurant that I ate at, because it was a team thing. And the other one was there was a hat store that had lots and lots of hats. Those are the only stores I actually remember. But I think it's probably been at least 10 years since I've been to Leavenworth. So,
okay, well, first of all, You should go to Leavenworth.
Okay.
I mean, it can be a day trip, which is yep. exciting too. There's a Christmas store. I'm such a Christmas fan. I love Christmas so much. And it's so fun. This two-story store, it's Christmas year-round there. And it's just so lovely. It's especially fun in the summer when it's, like, hot outside. And then you go in and it's Christmas. And there's, like, just every ornament you could ever want or desire. And just all sorts of styles. These styles that are just fun to, like, make fun of. Because you're like, who would ever purchase this item? And put it in their home. And then there's stuff that it's like, I want all of these things. And there's like fancy Christmas stuff and cheapo Christmas stuff and just everything. And it's delightful. And it's so fun to get excited about Christmas. So go to the Leavenworth Christmas store.
That is a great, great wish you were here. It's a good suggestion. Cheryl, what's your wish you were here?
So mine this week is the Ape Caves near Mount St. Helens in Washington. Yes. So Ryan, you've heard about the Ape Caves.
Yes, not only have I heard about the Ape Caves, I've been to Mount St. Helens once. I think it was in elementary school. And I've been to the outside of the Ape Caves, and we were going to maybe go hike inside, but I was too afraid.
Oh, buddy. Well,
yep.
I think you should go. I've gone twice and I would love to go again this summer, actually.
Okay.
It's very cool and it's an experience that I'm like, yeah, I want to keep going back there. So Ryan, would you like to explain how they were formed?
Well, I believe they are hollowed out lava tubes, I believe, from Mount St. Helens. And now, whether or not these particular lava tubes, I don't think they were from the most recent eruption. I don't think they're from the 1980 eruption.
No, they were from
older than that.
Yeah, long ago.
A lot older than that. And so lava tubes are basically, in general, underground spots that lava flows through, but as the ground around it is cooler, it kind of gets this kind of like crust, for lack of a better word, around the outside. And then as the lava is no longer connected to its magma chamber, then it kind of like flows out to wherever it is that it's flowing, and then it just leaves behind this empty kind of tube or cave. But they're not like, it's not like it's perfectly circular or anything, right, Cheryl?
Yeah, no, it's not perfectly circular. And then, I mean, also there have been like some, I don't know if avalanches are the right word in this context or not, but there are like big piles of rocks and stuff, cave-ins. Not total cave-ins because there are spots to get around them, but it's the longest continuous lava tubes in the United States. And so that's fun that it like it kind of keeps going for a little while. And it's an absolutely a doable day trip from Seattle, which is really fun. Like you can drive there, hike it, and drive home that night, no problem. And so there are actually two directions you can go when you get there. You go down this staircase and you instantly notice that it's way colder down there. Mm-hmm. So super fun to go to in the summer, also because it's open more in the summer and not snowy there in the summer. But it's kind of nice if you go on a hot day because I think it's like 50 degrees down there. So it's just kind of like, I went one time with my siblings and the first time I went, and one of my brothers-in-law was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be really cold. We really need to layer up. And then it was just like, oh, no, this just kind of feels nice, you know. And so and you're walking, so it's fine. But you go to the right when you first go in, and that's one is a dead end in about 3/4 of a mile, and then you just turn around and come back, and it's pretty flat. So that is even if you're not into hiking or bouldering or anything like that, I mean, you're going to want your headlamp, certainly, because it's a cave, so it's pitch black in there, but you can just go and walk it, and it's fairly flat ground. So I like to go on that one first, and then you go to the one on the left, and that's like bouldering. There's about five, it was described somewhere online as house-sized piles of rocks Which is very funny to compare anything to the size of a house because houses are different sizes. So I don't super see how that's helpful. But yeah, there's just these really, really big piles of rocks. I'd say probably the size of like 2-story houses. And it was my first time doing that. And so it was so fun because it's doable. It's totally doable. And also I felt very successful at the end of it. So that was fun just to be like, oh, I'm a capable person.
So is there's that a one point... not a turnaround then? Like
no,
you go down and
so
come
that
back?
One, there's a hole at the end in the ceiling. Oh. And there's a ladder that you climb up and then you climb like out of the earth.
Oh,
back
cool.
into the sunshiny day, and then it's just like green grass and flowers and birds all around it, and so it's this very fun contrast to like live through moments apart from each other. And at one point in that side, there's an 8-foot lava fall that you have to climb up.
Ooh.
And it has a rope on it, so that's good because otherwise, I would super fail at that because climbing up things is like not my strength by any means. And I am saying this to say that if I can do it, so can you. So, definitely bring a headlamp and like a spare flashlight, I would say, and bring a buddy or two. But it's, oh man, it's super fun. I totally want to go back. And they're called the Ape Caves because of Bigfoot. So that's exciting too. So,
did you see Bigfoot while you were there?
No, but you know, someday. So.
The caves are pretty dark.
Yeah. Yes, they're very dark. So he could have been there, you know.
Yeah.
Just not
be watching
himself.
In the corner.
How busy have they been
when
you've been there?
Both times I went, we're on Saturdays, so that's a pretty good read. The first time I went, the parking lot was full, and then we realized it was like the last Saturday it was going to be open for the season. It was in September, you know, and so, but even so, we were not like constantly running into people in the caves. You know, it didn't seem like there were like voices everywhere and like people and stuff. There's occasionally like if you're around other hikers, you kind of figure out who's faster and it is maybe a bit more awkward at points than like on a normal hiking trail when somebody's faster and it's like a momentary thing where they pass you. And this is more like their group is also going down these rocks and you're going down these rocks and it's all black. But that's fine. And so I would say for the most part, like most of my time, both times I've gone there, I was just with my group and we didn't see or hear anybody else. And so, that was kind
of
nice.
So part of me, one of the things that I find fascinating, and this is probably as a teacher, right? Like science teacher and then just teacher in general, people don't, it's a very common misunderstanding that pitch black is a real thing, right? Like that if you turn off the lights, your eyes will never actually adjust because almost all the time our experiences, there's a little bit of light. And so people think, oh, if I just wait a little bit longer, I'll be able to see. But if you've never been in something completely pitch black, so like if there's no one else around you and if you're with your group and you could all of you turn off your lamps and actually experience what pitch black is actually like that can be really profound is too extreme of a word, but memorable.
Uncomfortable.
It can definitely be uncomfortable. That's a great word, Elise, right? Because like if you've never really been that in something that black, it can feel oppressive sometimes.
And then, it's also, like, can be really quiet in there as well. So there's also, like, a sound element other than you'll hear, like, dripping, you know, or things like that because of, like, moisture dripping into puddles or, you know, different things like that. But the darkness was such a cool experience. And then I have this flashlight, and I don't know if I still own it, that's one of those, like, crazy, crazy powerful flashlights, you know, that, like, it says that if you have it on the, like, strobe feature that it's like supposed to be able to stun a person or whatever. And I don't know if you guys have heard of those flashlights. They're nuts. And in that cave, Ryan, it looked like a lightsaber. So I would say if you bring one of those crazy, cool, powerful flashlights and it's in that pitch black, you can just see the straight stream of light coming out of it. And it Yeah, I was with a friend and he started playing with it like it was a lightsaber.
As you should.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was quite an exciting moment as well. So cool. So check out the ape caves.
Yeah. Okay, Cheryl, why don't you go ahead and share your wish you were here?
Okay, so mine is inspired by what Jason was sharing about today, and I want to share about a very easy hiking trail that gets you a view of Mount Rainier. So it's called the Natchez Peak Loop, and it is on the, I want to say, southeast side of the mountain. It's at least in that direction. And half of the trail is on the PCT and half of it is
PCT is
the Pacific Crest, the Pacific Crest Trail. Okay. And, half of it's considered that and half is considered like this different trail, but it makes a loop. And, so you can't bring your dog on the whole thing because you can have your dog on the PCT, but not on this other trail. So to complete it, unfortunately, no dogs, which is very sad. But it's pretty flat. It's a little hilly at points, but the elevation gain, I think, totals like 500 feet or something. So it like...
Okay.
And it's like a three or four mile loop. So it's not very long. And if you start it by heading on the Pacific Crest Trail and going south, then the whole second half of the loop, you're just walking directly towards Mount Rainier, like right in front of your face. And if you go in like August or September, that's when the wildflowers are blooming.
Mm.
And so it's just like sunny and there's wildflowers everywhere. And you're just like staring at Mount Rainier. And it's a pretty easy hike. I took my parents on it a couple of years ago. And so, yeah, I'd say the Natchez Peak Loop is definitely a great one to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, Cheryl, what would you like to do for your wish you were here?
Well, Ryan, you're going to be really happy about this one because it's kind of science-y.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's one that's like a current part of my life as well, and I realized I should share on the podcast.
I'm excited now.
Is what you should do is off of the I-90 freeway in... Uh-huh. Washington, when you're heading from Seattle to, you're driving east, and right before you get to Snoqualmie Pass, you're going to get off on exit 47, and you're going to go to Humpback Mountain Trailhead and go rock hounding there.
Rock hounding?
Do you know about rock hounding?
I don't. What is rock hounding?
It's just going and digging for rocks. But like there's a community online that posts about where you can find like a geode or these different things. And at the Humpback Mountain Trail, you can find crystals. They grow in the ground a lot in this one section there, about half a mile in. And I've gone like 5 times now with my husband and most of the time with our stepson, my stepson as well. And we go and dig in the ground and find crystals. And it's so cool. And there's other people out there.
That's cool.
So it'd be so weird if I was thinking, if I went on that hike and didn't know what it was about, because all of a sudden you come to this area where there's just like people like spread out through this hillside and they're all pretty quiet because they're doing their own thing and digging. But it would be kind of alarming if you didn't know it was there. But it's fun. I really enjoy it. And we found some like decent sized crystals, but then people are posting online regularly that they're finding like pretty big ones right in that area. And so, yeah, we've been learning more about it. We just got a new like sifter for it.
Wow, you're like a serious rock hounder now.
That's hardcore.
It's pretty fun because I like the hiking, and I mean, I think it's fun to look for things. But then, yeah, Daryl's really into the rock aspect of it, so it's pretty cool. So find rock hounding in your area, but if you're ever here in the Seattle area, that's a place you can dig for crystals.
Awesome. Yeah. That's cool.
You look so surprised.
I'm super surprised. Don, what would you like to do for your wish you were here?
this was hard. I didn't think about this one ahead of time. So the thing that just popped into my head, and I'll go with a more recent thing. So last summer, my girlfriend and I made a trip out to Big Lake, Washington, which is up past Mount Vernon. And while there, we rented an Airbnb on the lake. And it's where I was reminded that when I retire, I would love to own a lake house and be able to just walk out every morning and fish or go kayaking, whatever. And so, like, someday when I have my lake house, I will wish you were there. You can come and visit me at my lake house.
Yes.
Which hopefully will be sooner rather than later. But yeah, lake house. It doesn't have to be a big lake, but it was a pretty cool location.
Nice.
I'm not familiar with that particular spot, Big Lake.
Neither am I.
I mean, are there a lot of lake houses? Is it fairly undeveloped?
There's lots and lots and lots of lake houses.
Okay.
A lot of people skiing and boating on it. So
okay.
It's a recreational lake.
But
yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
And not very far, right? Like, it wasn't that far away from Seattle. Like, I'm like, I could live there one day. And if I have to commute into Seattle for work, it's like an hour and a half commute. But if I only had to do it a couple days a week, it wouldn't be too bad.
Nice.
Okay.
That's a nice distance.
Nice.
Yeah. My lake house.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it was. We would love it if you would follow us on social media. We are at TimWe Podcast. That's at TMWY for Take Me With You Podcast. We are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
You can also email us at timwepodcast@gmail.com. Tell us, what are your wish you were here for this location?
We would love to hear that. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 406-763-8699. Or, if it's easier to remember, 406-POD-TIMWE. We would love it if you would rate and review our podcast to tell other people what you think about it, subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode, and share about this episode on your social media.
As always, thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the awesome artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. And thank you to Erica Corbin for the use of her song Round the Globe. You can listen to Erica's music wherever music is sold or streamed.
That's all we have for this episode. So until next time, remember to take me with you.
Take me with you.
Can we get a sailboat chasing down the sunset as we float round and round the globe? Salty air and balmy nights, guided only by the lights above and light little love. All the world is out there waiting to explore, and all our troubles here want them to be ignored. Oh, let's go to India and die.